We have been reliably informed, and we learned further as a result of the trials of Parada, Stupak, and Katz that there have been various payoffs of protection money from various racketeers engaged in the numbers racket to high police officials of the city of Pittsburgh. We've heard statements that the payments have been broad. We are therefore going to look into that to determine whether or not those payments were made. We want to know who was paid, we want to know how much they were paid, and we want to know when they were paid. We plan to use that as an aid in enforcing the internal revenue laws of the country.
In November, Mrs. Lillian Stevick was found attacked and beaten to death in Brackenridge. A 13-year-old boy named Jerry Pasek told detectives he found the body and identified a man who, he said, was running from the scene. 2 days later, however, Jerry, who looks and acts much older than his 13 years, confessed to the killing. Mike Levine was on hand with his tape recorder when Jerry made his statement to County Detective James DeStout.
Jerry, tell me, why did you blame this on Jimmy Bauman yesterday and just keep insisting all day yesterday that Jimmy Bauman was the one that you had seen there?
Because when him and I used to work up at Dawson TV, Mark, he was always pushing me around, always hitting and punching me, and I figured he had a prison record, so I figured it'd lead to him.
Jerry, how well did you know Mrs. Stevick?
I just knew her to see her.
Had you ever spoke to her before last night when you met her when she got off the bus?
I just said hello to her on the street once or twice.
Did she seem like a nice lady to you?
Yes.
Kind?
Yes.
How do you feel now that it's all over?
I feel miserable of what the thing I did. I know it was wrong. There's no use to saying sorry now because it's already done and over with.
In June, another 13-year-old boy, John Cole Jr. of Bethel, became the central figure in another murder case. He admitted killing his father with a pistol one night at the family home. At the inquest, he told Mike Levine why.
I was scared. I was just scared of him. So I was afraid of being my hands burned.
What happened that night just before the shooting, John?
He beat me.
Why was he beating you?
He said I took shotgun shells.
How did he beat you, John?
He beat me with his belt, with my slipper, and then he hit me with his fist in the back of his hand.
Where was the gun that you used, John?
It was under my pillow.
Why did you have that gun under the pillow?
Because I was afraid of him.
Did you sleep every night with that gun under your pillow?
Not all the time.
Not all the time. Where was it hidden, John?
Under my mattress.
John, did you steal this? Did you take those shotgun shells your father said you stole?
No.
Well, now that it is over, if you had it to do again, would you still
No.
use the gun? How do you feel about it now?
It's hard to say.
The tape recording you are about to hear does not recreate the sounds and voices of any major news story of 1958. This vignette tells only the story of a man named Owen Dowdall in his efforts to protect his job. We'll say nothing more about it, except to set the scene. The place, Irwin, in Westmoreland County. The voice in the foreground is that of Mr. Dowdall, who sits on a tiny covered platform mounted on top of a 40-foot flagpole. The fainter voice is that of Mike Levine, 40 feet below. Mike passed his pocket-sized tape recorder up to Owen in a bucket, and the following conversation took place.
Hey, Owen, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
When did you strike your sit-down strike up there?
Saturday night.
Tell me why, will you?
Well, we've been after the water company to put water in. My boss is going to lay me off. If I don't get the water in, I don't get no work. And the planning commission hasn't been around to prove the lots.
When was your boss going to lay you down, lay you off?
Well, Monday was going to be my last day.
How long have you been up there?
3 days.
What do you do to pass the time away?
Well, I got a guitar here. I keep myself amused. Boys come around once in a while and say hi to me.
You play the guitar much?
Oh, a good bit in the innings. Pass the time away.
You a pretty good guitar player?
Not too good.
Would you play me a few notes?
Oh, I might.
Yeah, lay the microphone down right there and give me a little bit of guitar music, would you, Owen?
Just lay it down?
Yeah, just lay it down.
Stripped district businessman, Nathaniel Shoren, was wiped out by fire twice. Shoren was moving his paper products company out of a building on Penn Avenue in February when a fire destroyed his stock and three other business places. In December, Shoren was operating in his new location when fire struck again. Mike Levine talked to his wife, Dorothy, as she watched firemen pouring water on the remains of her husband's business.
Trouble to you, didn't it?
Yes, it sure did.
Would you tell me about it?
Well, of course, February, the beginning of the year, we had a terrific fire. The building collapsed first, you know, the roof came down and the fire started, and we moved across the street here, and now the building next door to us caught fire, and we've got water damage, and fire just as bad as though it had been a fire at our place.
Mrs. Shore, how does it feel to be wiped out two times in 1 year?
I really can't answer that. I don't have any feeling right now. I'm just numb.
Ten, nine, eight.
The countdown continues down to zero.
Five, four,